Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast. This is a Saturday morning episode. We're coming from you Saturday morning. Okay, so I'm not even going to waste a lot of time. You guys know why we are here. I'm here to give you guys my predictions for this divisional weekend in the NFL playoffs. We got some really good, we got some games. I'm going to watch all of them. We got Texans, Ravens, Packers, Niners, Chiefs, Bills, Detroit, and Tampa Bay. I'm most excited for Chiefs, Bills. Absolutely. But first and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah Kiv, the Isaiah Kiv Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that is listening in full effect. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. First-time listeners, regular listeners, sharing the pod, downloading the pod, streaming the pod on any DSP that you guys may use. Shouts out to everyone that is doing that. Greatly, greatly appreciated all the time. I see some of you guys' DMs and questions and so forth. I'm gonna start creating a segment where I try to answer some questions. Or some things that may come around, so that you know may come my way, my direction. So I do see that. So I will try to create a segment for that. But you know, going into this divisional weekend, there's a couple things I want to tackle or at least talk about momentarily before I just blurt out my predictions and what I think about this weekend's games. And first is, I mentioned that I'm excited to see Chiefs Bills, because I think a lot of people deem the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Bills Chiefs. Some people may deem it as a rivalry. I think they've had some really great games in the regular season and the postseason, but I wouldn't necessarily classify it as a rivalry. Now, some of you guys may say, well, why do you think that? Why is it not a rivalry? Why can't we call it a rivalry? Well, to me, I think a rivalry has to have an element of, in order to be a rivalry, both sides have to win a game of significance. So, for instance, the Bills, I wouldn't necessarily classify this as a rivalry because they haven't beaten Kansas City in a playoff game. Cool, okay, they beat them in October, November in a regular season game. But when the chips are all on the line, you know, trip to the Super Bowl, trip to the AFC Championship game, advancing throughout the playoffs, they have yet to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That point blank period. They have yet to do it. Like I said, they've beaten them a couple times in the regular season, like this past, earlier this season. But chips on the line, Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, those guys in Kansas City always seem to find a way to beat Buffalo in the darnest times with the highest stakes, when the stakes are the highest. So I started thinking about it. In modern sports, right, obviously when you think about rivalries, when we're talking about modern sports, I think Magic Bird just comes to a lot of people's mind, right? Magic Bird, it kind of played out really perfectly, I would say, like almost too perfect, right? These two guys, really both great skill sets. They're like legends of the 80s, but just legends just in general, like basketball legends, right? In their respective sport, in their respective city, whatever, right? And it all starts in the 1979 NCAA championship game. Larry Bird obviously played for Indiana State, and Irvin Magic Johnson, I should say, played for Michigan State. And Michigan State won that game ultimately. And it ultimately just propelled a series of matchups where championships would be on the line, awards and titles would be on the line. And what made it a rivalry was that eventually Bird and the Celtics would beat Magic and the Lakers. And if this worked out perfectly, like one got drafted by the Lakers, the other got drafted by the Celtics, right? And this whole thing that they have going on, this whole rivalry and competition that they have going on, in the process, they are also saving the league. So it's very instrumental and impactful. Their rivalry, I think, is one of the more impactful rivalries in modern sports that we have, that we have had in modern sports because of the impact that it has had. It carried on not only their personal rivalry or competition, but it also carried on a pre-existing rivalry, Lakers Celtics, right? So that was just perfect. But for instance, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Until Peyton Manning beat Tom Brady in the 2006 AFC Championship game, that was not a rivalry. That was the Patriots and Tom Brady owning Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. That was not a rivalry. Up until Peyton Manning finally got it done at home, it was not a rivalry. It was very one-sided, and Peyton, he got the short end of the stick of that rivalry ultimately, but it was not a rivalry pre-existing up until 2006. So, and I think we watch sports for these type of moments. I think that's why a lot of people love college sports. Duke, UNC, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, OU. When you think about some of the best rivalries or like why we tune into sports, I think rivalries is high on a lot of people's lists. It's kind of a lost art at times. I think in professional sports, it's kind of a lost art because there's so many players. There's so much player movement, whether it's in the NFL and the NBA. It's kind of a lost art, right? And in the NBA, they have kind of like, we kind of put players versus players. It's not necessarily a franchise versus one franchise because, like I said, player movement is so instrumental and so huge. It's kind of hard to just keep up. And you can't develop a rivalry necessarily when it comes to, team versus team matchups, especially in the NBA. But, and for instance, my opinion, this is just my opinion, but when we look at Cincinnati and Chiefs, Bengals Chiefs, I deem that more of a rivalry simply based off the fact that Cincinnati has actually beaten Kansas City in the postseason. And they kind of have this back and forth. And last year, they played each other in the AFC Championship game. And when it came to predicting that game, it was very much a coin flip because I think there was a level of understanding like, hey, Kansas City is great and dominant, but Cincinnati proved just a year ago last year that they were able to come in here into Kansas City and win in dramatic fashion. So that's the whole thing. And for Buffalo, this is, I would say, and I'm not saying Kansas City is vulnerable or susceptible, but in terms of if you're Buffalo, if you're Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, if you're part of Bills Mafia, this is the absolute, up until this point, this is the best chance that you guys have to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. This is the best chance. This is the best opportunity. You got them at home, at your house. You finally got home field advantage. You're playing really good football. You got a really good thing going on with Buffalo. This is Mahomes' first playoff game on the road. Granted, their offense look a little bit more fluent than what it has been looking. Last week it looked really fluent. But there's still some question marks about Kansas City offensively that we still, they're laying some question marks, right? Defensively, they're really good. They're elite. But offensively, I think there is still some unturned stones. So when looking at Buffalo, I think this is the absolute best chance that they have to beat Kansas City. I mean, Sean McDermott, he's turned out to be a really good coach, but I bet you guys did not know Sean McDermott was Andy Reid's defensive coordinator in Philadelphia. And Andy Reid fired him because the Packers came into Philadelphia and beat them. I think that was 2010, 2011. The Packers had came into Philadelphia, walked into Philly, and they beat the Eagles. Sean McDermott was defensive coordinator. Andy Reid fired him. And I don't think there's no hard feelings there, but that's the guy that kind of gave you your start. And like I said, Sean McDermott has turned out to be a really good coach, right? But this is the best opportunity for Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and the Buffalo Bills to beat Kansas City and take them down and to actually make it a real rivalry, right? For years, the Red Sox, Yankees Red Sox is obviously one of sports like best rivalries, but I would argue up until 2004, essentially the Red Sox haven't really done anything up until 2004. So the rivalry was kind of very much one-sided, and it didn't really start a clash up until Boston came back, won an all-time great playoff series, and they would continue to rattle off World Series pennants and so forth over the course of the next 20 years, right? Right. So, yeah, since 2004, Red Sox have more World Series championships than the Yankees, and that has made that rivalry a little bit more intense than what it was, I would say, previously, because it was very one-sided, and the Red Sox, up until, like I said, 2004, historically, they were kind of underachieving and disappointing. But that is how it goes. When the other side start to win, when the other side takes down the opposing team, that is when we have a rivalry brewing. I don't think we can necessarily call Josh Allen. I mean, granted, I think their skill sets are amongst the best we've ever seen. But in terms of a head-to-head type of battle, and we're talking about rivalries and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, very similar. And we'll see if Josh Allen can get it done because, like I said, it took Peyton Manning a while. It took him a long time to overcome that Tom Brady and Patriots hurdle. And, you know, we'll see if Josh Allen can overcome that hurdle this Sunday. But he hasn't yet to do it. So it's lining up very equally, I would say, on the same par, same pace as Brady Manning prior to Manning actually winning a playoff game versus Brady and the Patriots, right? So Josh Allen has a chance to do that. I often call him this generation's Brett Favre. He's an all-time great player. He's one of the best players of this generation. I think that goes without being said, but you got to get it done. I think this is huge. And leading into that, that takes me to my other topic that I want to cover right before I give you guys my prediction. And I've been hearing this conversation. Who has the most pressure? What quarterback has the most pressure on them this weekend? That's been the conversation all throughout the week, right? Obviously, I think, like, if I had to rank it, it would probably be like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, you know, in whatever order that you prefer. I think those are, like, I think unequivocally, those are the two guys that I think have the most pressure on them in terms of the quarterback position. Granted, I know some people may argue Brock Purdy, but to me, Brock Purdy isn't the engine that make the 49ers go. So I'm not excusing him. Like, if the 49ers lose, obviously it's a disappointment. And, you know, Brock Purdy, depending on how he plays, he'd definitely be under the microscope. But in terms, when I mentioned Josh Allen, when I mentioned the Ravens, these teams essentially go as they go. Now, the Ravens have done a really good job. I would say both teams this year particularly have done a pretty good job at not, it's not just, you know, Josh Allen or die or Lamar Jackson or die. Both teams, whether it was through the draft, through free agency, through scheme, they have done a good job of relinquishing some, like relinquishing some of the pressure and some of the task that these two guys have, you know, previously had to deal with in Curry, right? I think, you know, I think a lot of people kind of talk about it with the Bills where Josh Allen, it just seems like, man, he has to do so much. He has to throw the football and he has to be their lead rusher and so forth in certain instances, right? James Cook has kind of solved that problem, right? Joe Brady has done a good job since taking over as the OC. He's done a really good job at relinquishing some pressure. Obviously, with Baltimore, I think it's been one of the highlights of it's been one of the highlights of their offense this season, where it doesn't seem like Lamar has to do so much and he has to bring his A game for the Ravens to necessarily win ball games this year. Now, in instances, he's looked really stellar and he's shown the complete package, but in other instances, they may not have needed that because, you know, of Munkin's scheme and, you know, he can just dump it off to Zay Flowers in the flat or in the screen and Zay Flowers can do his thing. They have put, I would say, adequate playmakers, play callers around him, and the defense has been anything less but stellar. The defense has been great this year for Baltimore. So I think those two guys, you know, I think those two guys are, they have the most pressure on them. And you want to throw Brock Purdy on there on third, you know, cool, right? With, like I said, with Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, he won the NFC South. He got the Buccaneers to a playoff game. He won them a playoff game. He got them to the divisional round of playoffs. Like, I think that's more than any Buccaneers fan has expected or expected from Baker Mayfield, right? You know, if Baker Mayfield loses this game and if he don't necessarily play his best, it won't be the end all be all, right? Jared Goff, I think the same can be said. Now, I think a lot, you know, depending on how you feel about Jared Goff, I think most people have their opinions made on Jared Goff. Good player, solid player. You put some decent pieces around him with a good play caller, you know, adequate conditions. He can ball. The dude can flat out throw it and sling it around the yard. Like him losing a game to Tampa, I don't know if that's gonna change how most of us look at Jared Goff. With Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes is quick. He's QB1. He's looked upon universally as the best quarterback in football, and it's been that way for some time. If he loses to Josh Allen, I don't think that's gonna change a lot of people's opinion. Now, other conversations may start to be had, but I don't think that's going to change, you know, the majority of our list or rankings in how we look at Patrick Mahomes. Jordan Love, I think Jordan Love, I don't know if it's been talked about enough. I think he has a lot. He don't have a lot to lose. He has a lot to gain, though. Jordan Love has a lot to gain this weekend. I don't know. The Niners are obviously the better team. I think they're going to win, and I kind of gave away my prediction, but it's okay. But if Jordan Love is able to beat the Niners and do something essentially, you know, Aaron Rodgers, his Achilles heel was the 49ers over the past several years. His last several years in Green Bay, he couldn't get over that 49er hump. And if Jordan Love is able to do that his first year starting, oh my God. Oh my gosh. That would be crazy. That would be amazing. That would make for great storyline, great content, great topics, right? But, you know, I don't know what the likelihood of that is, but we'll see. My whole gist is, I just don't see how Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are not at the top of people's list when we're talking about what quarterback has the most to lose or what quarterback has the most pressure on them. I think it's definitely those two guys. So let's get into my predictions. I'm gonna do it in chronological order. I'm gonna do Saturday and Sunday. We got the Texans playing the Ravens. at MMT Bank Stadium. I know quite a few Raven fans. I'm going to pick the Ravens. Ironically enough, I was scrolling on my phone, whatever, and I saw highlights of the season of the regular season game matchup between the Texans and the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens won in, I would say, pretty much convincing fashion. I think this game is going to be a little bit closer. I think obviously CJ Stroud, that was week one. That was CJ Stroud's first NFL game. So, you know, probably some jitters there, whatever. He had a couple turnovers and so forth. I think CJ would play a lot more cleaner. You know, Baltimore got some injuries on the defensive side of the ball with Mr. Marlon Humphrey, who was their best corner. But I think Baltimore has enough. I'm going to choose them. I'm going to go 31-20 Baltimore. I think Baltimore is able to score some points. I think Houston's going to be able to move the ball, but I believe in Baltimore's defense enough where they get crucial stops. You know, maybe a couple of red zone drives that should be touchdowns. Maybe they're only field goals. I think Baltimore holds Houston to 20 points. So I'm going to go 31-20 Baltimore. Tonight, we have the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. This rivalry goes back some time. Over the past several years, it's been really one-sided where the Niners have gotten the best of the Packers. I'm going to go with the Niners to win this football game. Now, as I told you guys last week, I picked the Cowboys to beat the Packers, but I did also add in there that the Packers would be able to move the football. I will not be surprised if the Packers are able to move the football, at least in the first half. I don't know if the running game is going to be as effective as it was last week. I think San Francisco is going to key in on that, and they may force Jordan Love to make some plays outside the pocket, down the field with his arm and so forth. Jordan Love, his accuracy with the all-platform throws, you can definitely tell he studied and watched a lot of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the throws look really, really identical to some of the throws that Aaron Rodgers has become a legend of, you know, for making and so forth. So Jordan Love, think he'd make some plays, but I think the Niners, they're going to be able to exploit the Packers' defensive issues. A lot of people don't know this, but I know the Packers fan base know this, but the Packers have some real defensive issues. Now, some of those defensive issues you probably couldn't see because if you were looking at last week's game versus the Cowboys, you would be like, man, this defense is pretty good. It's okay. Well, it's not. A lot of Packer fans, they're probably hoping that Joe Burrow gets fired after this season because their defense has been that atrocious. I think the Niners, I think they look at that weakness. I think they attack that weakness. I think they put up about 30 plus points. I'm gonna go Niners 34, Packers 21. Niners 34, Packers 21. I think the Niners get the win. And let's move on. We got Tampa Bay at Detroit. I'm gonna go with Detroit. I think both of these offenses are playing really well. But I just don't know if Tampa Bay can get enough stops versus Detroit. Detroit's at home. Jared Goff has been he's been really good at home this year. He's been really, really good over the past 2 years. I mean, over the past two seasons, Jared Goff, look at his splits from at home and away. He lights it up. He loves playing at Ford Field at home. Lions with those weapons. I think they get just enough stops versus Tampa Bay. I think this is going to be a pretty exciting game. I know you look at you like Lions, Buccaneers, but I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I'm going to go with the Lions winning. I'm going to go 27, Buccaneers 17. I think the Lions get just enough stops. And then last but not least, Chiefs, Bills. I really don't know who I'm going to go with this one. My heart is telling me don't pick against Mahomes. My head is telling me don't pick against Mahomes. I want Josh Allen to at least get one win. Mahomes and Chiefs, or I should say in the Mahomes era, Mahomes has never lost in the divisional round of playoffs. Never lost. He's 5-0. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they have the better defense. Mahomes, I think, won't be affected by the weather like, you know, the Dolphins were. I mean, I was so surprised. Kansas City, they look really normal. Their offense looked pretty normal. I'm going to go with a really close game. I think Kansas City get enough stops. I don't know. This is a coin flip game for me. I wouldn't be surprised if either of these teams win. I wouldn't bet on it at all. I'm going to go with the Chiefs 24-23. Chiefs 24-23. Kansas City wins in advance of the AFC Championship game. I'm gonna wrap this pod up. This is going to end it. Hope you guys enjoy the games this weekend. I'll be back and tapping in with you guys after divisional weekend. We'll break it all down here. That'll be the next episode that you hear. And, you know, always remember, two choices, one decision. Peace, deuces. I'm out.